You ready? Everybody in this room, God is not far from you. God is actually the Apostle Paul said that in Athens. He said the same thing to people. He says, God's not far from every one of us. And God's not far from you. You might think, oh, you know, whatever. Let me tell you, he's not far from you at all. And whoever you are, you can reach out to God and you can touch God. You can meet God right where you are in your seat today, right now if you want. And so to help you meet God, I want to help you meet God. I've called today's message, Introducing... That's a deep title, amen. And that's about as deep as we're going to go today, amen. Introducing God. And then after this service, when you're at home or at work, when someone asks you what happened to you on your weekend, you'll be able to say to them, I went to real life church and I met God. Amen. Wow, that'd be a good thing to be able to say. Over time, we all meet a lot of people, don't you? We all do. And we all get introduced to a lot of people. And I think you'll agree with me that there's this unwritten protocol that people follow when introductions are being made. Most times when an introduction is being made, we give a little bit of information about ourselves. Hi, I'm David. Actually, let's just demonstrate this, Fritz. And this is not scripted or anything else like this. And this might not even work. But here we go. Let's just... I've never met this guy before, fictitiously. Okay, we're just making that up. Hello, my name's David.
Hi, how you going, David? I'm Fritz.
And what do you do for a living, Fritz?
I work for myself. I'm a sole trader. I'm a builder.
Could you let go of my hand now, Fritz? Okay, I'm a pastor of a church, Fritz. Okay, so there's a few protocols there. You can sit down now. Give him a hand, come on. Oh, I held on to his hand. You know, but there are some protocols. One of them is, you know, you do give a little bit of information about yourself, but not too much, because you know when you're giving too much because the eyes go glazed. Amen? You got 5 seconds to say something about yourself. We give our names. The names is really important. And then somewhere in the exchanging of names and information, a handshake takes place. A handshake's an interesting thing because it's actually based on a tradition. From about 1,000 years ago, a lot of the men used to walk around with weapons or swords. A man would carry his sword on his left side. He would draw with his right hand. He's ready for a fight. He's ready to defend himself. But what they used to do, meeting a stranger or whatever, if he extended his hand, it was now away from his weapon, and he says, I meet you in peace. That's what's behind a handshake. So we meet each other, we extend the hand, and we're saying, I meet you in peace. Well, you learned something in church today. Amen. I come to you in peace. So today, this message is based, and I'm just trying to create an image, and I hope this works, and of the idea of you and God being introduced to each other and meeting each other today. That's what I'm trying to do. Now, when I told Rochelle what I was speaking on today, because sometimes I tell her, sometimes I say, mind your own business. Well, no, I don't. I don't. I would never say that to my wife. I would never say. But, you know, sometimes we talk about what we feel God wants to say. And she said, well, that she's already met God. And that she knows God. But she also understands, and I also know, that once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you want to encounter him all the time. Amen. All the time. And I know a lot of you have met God. But today, why don't you just meet him again in a fresh way, in a new way? So let's all meet God today. I first met God when I was a boy. Small boy in a church service during the 1960s, and that was a church where I first met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's in England, in Nottingham. I don't know everything about God, far from it, because no one knows everything about God, but I do actually know quite a bit about the Lord, and that's because I've been born again for over 50 years, and you get to know somebody when you're in relationship with them. And so in this introduction of God, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little bit of information about him, and then I will give you his name. So information, his name, and then we'll finish this introduction to God. I wanted to say by giving God a handshake. But that becomes really a metaphor, doesn't it? The handshake for let's touch God today. Let him touch us today. Let's meet God in peace today. Amen. So how do I know God? You say, well, how can you talk about God? Do you really know him? Well, everything we know about God comes from three sources. And this is how it is for every follower of God and for me. Firstly, I know things about God from creation. His creativity, God's artistry, his power. We sang about his power today. Are some of the things we learn about God from nature and from creation. Secondly, and probably the most importantly, I know about God from the Bible. The Bible is our primary source of information about the wonderful God of the universe, the Bible. If you want to know God, then I recommend you read the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. We give away a lot of Bibles. But that's how you learn about God, from reading the Bible, from creation, from the Bible. And certainly I know about God from experiencing God. Christians don't just know information about God. Christians really do know God as a person, and they've given their hearts to him. And I know God as a person, and he's active in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. I live under his shadow, and a lot of you do too. I live under his shadow, and God is forever faithful to me. And since I married Rochelle, he's faithful to us as a couple. God is faithful. I experience that. He lifts me up when I'm down, and sometimes I can feel down just like you, but the Lord lifts me up. He strengthens me when I feel weak, and sometimes I can feel very weak, but God is the strength of my life. We were singing about that today. He guides me through the ups and downs of life, and that's how life is, but he guides me, and he sustains me, and he fills my heart with joy and hope. And that's why when people say they don't believe in God, it's just an absurd statement for people to make to me, because I know God. I know him from creation. I know him from his word. But I know him because I've experienced God. And I'm not talking about something that happened, you know, yesterday, a long time ago. Even this year, even in these past months, God has been so good to us as a married couple. We say, thank you, Jesus, that we know you. Do you know God? You can know God if you don't. God's there to be known, amen? How do you know him? How do you meet with him? Well, I meet with him in prayer. You know, and you can pray at any time during the day. I meet him in the scriptures. You know, when some of you are reading the word. In fact, Phil came to me just before the service and said, are you talking about this scripture this morning? And it was a scripture, cast your care upon the Lord, for the Lord cares for you. And I said to Phil, no, I'm not speaking about that today. And I just have, haven't I? There you go. But he says, oh, that leapt out at me. And that's how you meet with God. Sometimes the scripture, you're just reading about it and bang, you go. And you really feel like it's the Lord speaking to your heart. And, you know, we meet him in worship like today. You know, it just lifts your spirit as we're confessing the greatness of our God. And we meet him there. So I experience God like I experience other people. And you can meet him and you can experience God also. So I just want to tell you a little bit about God. So everybody still with me? You sure? Okay, here we go. God is, who is God? Okay, let me tell you, because I'm introducing him to you. You need to know who he is. God is a sovereign creator of everything. Things seen and things unseen. God made it all. Amen. God created the material universe out of nothing. God made the galaxies, and you got a picture of a galaxy on the TV screens there. He made all of the stars. God made space-time. God made the sun, moon, and earth. God made all the laws of nature. God authored life. God made the animals, and God made Adam and Eve. I'll say it again. God made Adam and Eve as the pinnacle of all creation. And I spoke a little bit about that last week. God has no beginning, ladies and gentlemen, and he has no end. God has no beginning. He has no end. God has no rival. His power is without limit, and his wisdom cannot be measured. God stands apart from all of creation as the creator, and nothing is ever hidden from his sight. In other words, the Lord's watching you all the time. Hope you've been behaving yourselves. God never grows tired. God never gets sick. He never says, whoop, can't show up for church because I'm sick. Doesn't do that. God never gets depressed. God never needs to ask for advice. God is the one and only God. He alone is the majestic King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. That's who we're meeting today. What is God like? The Bible says that God is love. Let me tell you about him. God is love. And when you meet God, it's his love that washes over you. Sometimes I feel like I get ambushed by God. Sometimes where for no reason at all, suddenly there's an awareness of God's presence. And you know, you feel his love. Maybe some of you have felt that before. You feel like you've been ambushed by his love. Psalm 103 says that God is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry and he's filled with unfailing love. And God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Heaven is built upon God's love. The atmosphere of heaven permeates with God's love. And God's love undergirds his mercy and grace and generosity. God is love. I'll say it again. God is love. I'll say it again. God is love. And he loves you. You may think I'm dirty and ugly on the inside, and you well may be, but God still loves you. You might have let the Lord down this week, and other people might hold a grudge against you for doing things like that, but God still loves you. I'll say it again. God still loves you. Praise God. What else is God like? God is pure. God is blameless. God is holy. And even as a boy, I remember being overwhelmed by the purity and holiness of God. I remember God's purity coming, it's really hard to explain, but coming inside me, in my heart, when I repented of my sins. I'll never forget it. Just feeling so, it's like taking a shower on the inside as God's purity came inside of me. And even the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies, and the whole earth is filled with his glory." You know, unlike people, God does not deceive. God does not cheat. God does not lie. God does not do evil. God doesn't tempt people. God doesn't sin. God has never had to apologize for being unjust because he's always just. God is good. God is love and God is good. God is pure and clean and God is love. This is the person we're going to meet today. Praise God. Amen. What else is God like? Everybody still listening? I just want to make sure you're still here with me. God is spirit. God is spirit. And so that means you can't see him with your natural eyes. He transcends the material world, even filling the spiritual realms. No building can confine him, for God dwells in eternity itself. God is utterly uncontainable, and he answers to no one. Amen. Somebody said to me this week, actually, I had a few people say, "What are you preaching about on Sunday?" I said, "I'm going to be preaching about God." And people go, yeah, we know, but, you know, they want to say, "Well, what are you really talking about?" No, I really am talking about God. That's a radical idea to come to church to talk about God. Amen. I'm talking about God today. What else is God like? Well, we know his love. We know he's big. He's uncontainable. He's pure. He's holy. But what else is God is like? And I want everybody to stick with me. And there's a reason why I want to talk about this bit now. God is one person, and yet he reveals himself to humanity as three distinct persons. God is three in one. Really important to understand this, because all the way through the Bible, we see the interaction between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. For example, Jesus told us to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in the Bible, God the Son is called the Word of God, or he's simply called Jesus. And I understand for some people that this aspect of God can be just really confusing, because it sounds like there's three gods rather than one God. Which one is he? He's one God. The Bible repeatedly makes it clear that there's just one God. Jesus said, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." He's echoing a verse from the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul said, "For there is five gods, One guy, just one guy. The Lord our God is one, but he reveals himself as three distinct personalities. And after the apostles died, some people started to make up stuff about God and Jesus. They said things like, Jesus, he's not God. He was a good man. He's just not God. And this really bothered the Christians. And so the Christians came up with a descriptive word to describe this mysterious aspect of the nature of Almighty God. And they came up with the word Trinity. Trinity. And this is a really good word. God is a Trinity. And the Trinity of God is a wonderfully mysterious big deal. It is a big deal. Because whenever the Bible talks about Jesus, it's talking about God. I want everybody to understand that here. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a teacher. He's God. Jesus said that if you've seen me, this Jesus said that about himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He also said the Father and I are one. But sometimes we get confused about Jesus because he was a man. And it's reasonable to ask, how can God be a man? Well, the Bible answers that. And it says this in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8. Though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Jesus Christ was a man and he's God at the same time. That's why when you hit your hand with a hammer and a word comes out your mouth, if you're saying Jesus Christ, oh, like so many people do, that's God. We shouldn't use God's name as a form of blasphemy. Jesus Christ is God. When we sing about Jesus, we're singing about God. Some people also get confused about the Holy Spirit. They think of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm introducing you to God today. They think of the Holy Spirit as a power. May the force be with you. Or as an it. It. But we know from the Bible that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Is everybody hearing me? He's God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. He's divine. And he's active in the world today. He's active in this service right now. Jesus said to the disciples about the Holy Spirit, the Father will send another encourager who will never leave you. Look at that. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. And the great promise of God to his people is, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's God's promise. Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. The Holy Spirit is God, and he will never leave his people. Whenever the Bible's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's talking about God. Whenever the Bible's talking about Jesus, it's talking about God. Absolutely. And when we talk about God living in our hearts, or our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who lives within our hearts today. Today, picture this. Today, God the Father rules in heaven. Jesus Christ sits at his right hand interceding for the Christians today. And the Holy Spirit is active in the world, convicting people of sin, lifting up the name of Jesus, and dwelling in the hearts of believers. That's how it all works together. Now, if you can comprehend the Trinity, then you're the first person in history to do so. I learned a long time ago that we're not called to comprehend God, we're called to trust God. I'll say it again. We're not called to comprehend God. We're called to trust God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. God is one, but he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is the God that I'm introducing to you today. Amen? Finally, what name does God prefer you to use when you're talking to him? And it's an interesting question because we see in the Bible that God uses lots and lots and lots of names to describe himself. And all the names of God are so important and they reveal something about God, and these names affect how you see God and how you relate to God. So which one should we use? We all understand that the way you are introduced to someone in a casual setting will probably be very different to the way you're introduced to someone in a professional setting. In one instance, could I have you back up here, Fritz? And could you do a better job than you did last time, mate? Just step it up, step it up. Just, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm really pleased to be here. Actually, let's have Sam. I had a mental blank then. You knew I did. This is Sam. Can we say hello, Sam? Okay. Okay, so we're going to have a casual setting right now. These two have never met each other, so I'll just say, yeah, it is awkward. It's really awkward. So just go with the flow. What I want to do is, hey, Fritz, this is Sam, and Sam's a good friend of mine, and she comes to our church. So shake your hand. Okay. So Sam's a friend of mine. She comes to our church. That's how we described her. Okay, now we're meeting in a professional setting, okay, and you're an occupational health and safety officer. And, okay, so here we go.
Oh, gee. Hi, how are you going?
Good, 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 good thank you. My name's Fritz Vanderveld. How are you?
Great, I'm Sam. I
work for?
Department of Justice, and I'm an occupational health and safety advisor.
Okay, yep. Excellent, nice to meet you. So, well, Sam, I'm a builder, so you've got some things to say about what
I'm okay, that's enough now. You're getting too friendly. Okay. So let's say Sam, you know, she's a friend of mine. She comes to Real Life Church. Absolutely true. But she also works for the Department of, what do you call it? Justice. Yeah, she works in a prison. And so both are true. So depending on the setting determines how I'm going to introduce her. One setting I'll introduce her, she's a friend of mine. That's completely appropriate. In another setting I'll introduce her by what she does. And so it depends on the setting. And both those descriptions are accurate. She is a friend of mine. She does work for the Department of Justice. But the setting determines the introduction that's needed. It's the same with God. God can meet you using a different name from the last time you met him according to your life setting at that moment in time. And we're going to look very quickly. I'm going to really seriously, this is going to be quick. Look at six names of God that you find in the Bible that you can, and so you can see what I mean. And these names may sound a little weird, and that's because they're Hebrew names. But the message behind these names is really powerful. And they're all found in the Bible. The first one is Jehovah Jireh. That name means that God is our provider. Whatever your need is, God is willing and able to meet your needs today. Amen. And for some people today, you need to meet God as your source and provider. That's how you need to meet God today. Secondly, Jehovah Rapha. The name means God is our healer. And what the doctors don't know what to, when the doctors don't know what to do, God knows what to do. You know. God heals people from sickness, and God heals people from broken hearts. And some people here today, you need to meet God as Jehovah Rapha. And then there's Jehovah Nissi. This name means God is my banner, or a better way of saying that is God is my victory. Everyone has battles in life, and some of you are right in the middle of it right now. Everyone has struggles in life, and sometimes we run out of strength. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed and discouraged. And if that's you, then today you can meet God as Jehovah Nissi. For the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. Amen. What about this next one? This is beautiful. Jehovah Shalom. This name means God is my peace. And too many today, too many people are just so stressed out. Too many people are depressed. Too many people are worried. And that sort of is how their life is all the time. And if that's you, then today the good news is that God is willing to be your peace. He's willing to be your peace of heart. He's willing to be your peace of mind. And I want to introduce you today to the God of peace. Amen. Somebody listening. What about this one, Jehovah Roy? This name means God is my shepherd. Psalm 23 verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. If you're looking for direction in your life, then you need to meet God as your shepherd today, because he can lead you and guide you in paths of righteousness. Next one, Jehovah Tsidkenu. This name means God is my righteousness. This is a beautiful name. Every one of us has sinned against God. Every one of us has lost our rights to heaven, because a pure God cannot coexist with filthy sinners. But God, who is rich in love, sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins and to give us a gift of righteousness. So today, if you're weighed down with sin, and if you're weighed down with guilt, don't run away from God. Run to God and meet him as your righteousness. Repent of your sins and let him wash you pure and clean. Today you can meet God as your provider, as your healer, as your victory, as your peace, as your shepherd, or as your righteousness. Interestingly, those six names of God are mostly located in the first half of the Bible. Yet every one of them finds their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, who we read about in the second half of the Bible. Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has become our provision. He's become our healer. He's become our victory, peace, shepherd, and righteousness. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You might not be able to remember those six Hebrew names. That's okay. You only need to remember one name, and that is the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody listening, Jesus is God's favorite name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Amen. Would you like to meet Jesus today? Come on, would you like to meet Jesus today? Well, Jesus Christ wants to meet you, and he will meet you where you're at in your life. He comes in peace. He comes in love and purity. He also comes in power to minister to you and your needs. It's time to meet God. What do you reckon, everybody? Come on, let's stand our feet. Let's stand our feet. Father, we just come before you right now. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence. And Holy Spirit, you are here ministering to people right now. And Lord, every one of us, from the back to the front, we all want to encounter the living God. And we're all in different life settings and different backgrounds and different places in our life. But we thank you that you are a God who loves us so much that you meet us at where we're at. And we just honor you. And we just worship you today. Could somebody just say praise the Lord? Come on. What about hallelujah? Come on. Why don't you just praise him for a moment? Hey, come on. You know, honor him. Come on, let's engage our hearts with his today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.